This is Teachers Talk Radio, and you are listening live. Tune in live at ttradio.org, or to join in the conversation, download the Podbean app and search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. Tune in, talk it out with Teachers Talk Radio.
And good afternoon and welcome to the Drive Home Show with myself, Neil Mullen. Nice to be speaking with you today on this first Tuesday, back in the swing of things, back in the school term. It's lovely and sunny where I'm based in the northeast of England, and hope you've had a lovely sunny day too. Tonight's show is going to focus on two things really. It's going to be a back to school special, where we're going to look at the importance of transitions for SEND learners in the first half of the show. We're going to have a chat about how transitions are really important in terms of transitioning back into school routines, potentially transitioning from primary to secondary school, transitioning to different teachers, staff, different peer groups, that type of thing. In the first half of the show, then we'll have a little break halfway through where we'll go head over to the news and a few adverts. Then in the second half of the show, we're going to look at the anxieties that SEND learners face when going back to school. Obviously, we've had a very difficult 18 months previously with COVID and lockdowns and remote learning. And this is kind of the first term really where everything is kind of going back to normal, or as normal as we kind of know. So what kind of anxieties do SEND learners have? And hopefully a couple of tips to overcome those anxieties. So hopefully it should be a really, really good show. Again, would love to hear your thoughts and ideas on transitions for SEND learners and anxieties that you may have come across in SEND learners in your own establishment. So please do call or text in. It's always nice to have other people's thoughts on that. So we'll crack on straight away with the first half of the show, and that's looking at transitions for SEND learners. Now, last week, you may have had some of your SEND learners back to school for 1, 2, maybe even 3 days. But this week kind of embarks on the full return to school, the first full week back at school. And for SEND learners, as well as mainstream learners, that can be quite a challenging and almost upheaval kind of time. The 6 weeks holidays can be a real opportunity for SEND learners to go and do things with their family, their friends, their own interests. Then coming back into the school environment can be quite traumatic, really, for SEND learners, getting themselves back into the routines of going into, you know, getting themselves ready on a morning, that getting themselves back into the routine of school uniforms, expectations around school and what they're expected to do within school. In addition, transitions around, you know, getting back onto transport, school transport links, as well as actually the transition of going back to school. So, and that can be really, really challenging for some SEND learners. Other SEND learners really enjoy that school environment. They like the routines, they like the structure of it, and they enjoy going to school. For others, the first 2 or 3 weeks of going back to school can be really challenging and really difficult. So from my own experiences of working in a wide range of special schools, I found that the transitions into school and transitions back into routines and expectations and classroom delivery is really, really important. I'm not saying that it's not important for mainstream colleagues or even, you know, post 16 universities. We all find changes to what we've been doing quite hard to readjust to. And, you know, even for teachers ourselves, the first week or two, we're just trying to get back into the routine of teaching and planning and marking and getting to know our new students and things like that. But for me, the transitions for SEND learners takes on a higher importance, because within those first 2 or 3 weeks of them coming back into either a new class and a new teacher and support staff, or B, transitioning from, you know, a key stage to a different key stage, or indeed a primary school to a secondary school, is really, really crucial. Because if those learners make those transitions and support her really well, then the rest of the year can kind of take care of itself. An example of this is a learner that I had in a primary special school was highly anxious about coming back to school from their 6 weeks holidays. And we placed a real high emphasis on their transition of we were going to support that learner with key transitions. So that was, you know, key times throughout the day he would have assigned a member of staff to check in with, make sure that he was okay with what work was going on. He was okay with, you know, moving around the building and transitioning from one area to the next and different things like that. And kind of those key transitions that we made during those first few weeks really helped us, because actually that learner had some unplanned learning where they took on a little bit more independence in terms of their routine, in terms of they were able to take over the transitions from key places within the school themselves as we move through the year. So that's kind of what we mean when I say that transitioning back into the school environment and making that smooth as possible can have additional benefits throughout the year. And that really helped us with that particular learner. Now it doesn't always go that way, because some learners may come back, or some learners may actually join a new school, or they may join a new class or follow a different curriculum pathway, may have new teachers, new support staff, new peer groups. And the transitions, no matter how hard the teaching staff, support staff, even peers, family around the child, senior leadership team, sometimes that transition cannot not really go well for whatever reason. And that can have important implications too, because a lot of SEND learners, as in the mainstream, as well as the mainstream population, thrive on that routine. You know, there's certain populations of need that will thrive on routine and thrive on knowing what is coming next and knowing their routines within school and knowing the key transitions throughout the day and the key staff associated with those transitions. But likewise, there are other populations that don't manage that as well. And for those learners that don't manage it as well, those transitions within the first few weeks have to be really, 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 really consistent and not really change as much, so they can build up some semblance of routine and some semblance of this is what's going to happen in our class, and these are our kind of routines that we can't really change. So, you know, for example, the timetables within special schools will have allocated slots for things like PE, for things like using the design technology room. And kind of building in those transitions and working with that child it almost has to be done, really, those transitions, because they can't change because of timetabling reasons. other transitions where, you know, you may assign a staff member to help a learner get from the classroom to the lunch hall, because that transition within going back to school hasn't really gone well. It may well be that a staff member swaps because one staff member isn't a good fit with that child. The child's not responding to the transition with that member of staff. And that's where you can be a little bit more interchangeable. But some transitions within school life kind of have to just go on, I suppose. You know, things like lunchtime slots or assemblies, and PE and swimming and things like that within that special environment can't really change. So the transitions need to be consistent. Now, the pace of the transition is also a crucial factor for our SEND learners. Some SEND learners will obviously pick up these transitions within their new classes, within their new schools, within their new learning environments, new peer groups really, really quickly, and will appear to almost just know instinctively what's going to come in, can transition independently and things like that. Other learners, it will take a lot more time. An example of this is I worked in a post-16 environment where a learner was still within the first half term, or coming to the end of the first half term, was still working on his transition from his classroom to the lunch hall, and that took the form of each time he would go with a member of staff that he felt most comfortable with, and he would go so far, and there would be a bench in the corridor for him, and he would eat his lunch there, and that's how far he felt he could go with it, with his anxieties around the transition and being in the lunch hall with the noise and his peer group. And throughout those weeks, it was a case of that staff member would move the bench a little bit further down the corridor, He would sit in outside of the lunch hall. He would then sit just inside the lunch hall. He would then sit on a table allocated to himself in the lunch hall where he could easily get out if the noise got too much for him. So the pace of transitions can vary for our SEND learners. Some SEND learners will pick them up really quickly and become really independent with those transitions, and some SEND learners like to help other SEND learners when they've got those transitions and they've got them secure and they can help others, and almost like a buddy scheme. Other SEND learners need to take that wee bit longer and build up those transitions in steps and in phases. Now, we've kind of hinted at the importance of them, and within the context of this year, it kind of takes on an even more greater importance for SEND learners, because we've all had massive upheaval in the last 18 months with COVID, with restrictions, with remote learning, with lockdowns, with learners, losing out on key parts of the school year because they're having to self isolate because of being in contact, classroom bubbles going down, and lots of things like that. So it kind of takes on an extra importance because we are now in a position where most restrictions are eased. Some schools are still putting in place different restrictions and are doing what's best for them, but in the main, those restrictions in terms of, classroom bubbles and separate break times and separate lunch slots have kind of gone. So SEND learners are now going back into environments that they haven't really encountered since March 2020 and previous. So that's a long time to then go back into their memory bank and think about the transitions and the different things that they were doing prior to all this new new way of working within schools and specialist colleges and adult learning that they've previously experienced in the last 18 months. So it's really, really important in the context of this year to get transitioning right for our SEND learners. Now, how do we do that? That's a million-dollar question that I don't think anyone really has an answer for. But I think we've got to make sure that we keep the SEND learner involved in that process as much as we can, and kind of be open and honest about some of our new ways of working, some of our new ways of transitioning, and actually allowing them to talk through some of their anxieties about it, or talk through about how they're feeling about, you know, coming back to school and transitioning back in from, you know, a really big 6-week holiday, potentially for some learners. They may have been self-isolating, so have had longer off from school. So that can be a real, real anxiety for some of our SEND learners. For some of our SEND learners who have thrived so much on the routine of schools and have been working from home and remote learning, they may have that transition back into school expectations and school routines may be a real shock to the system and may be really hard to comprehend that, you know, at specific times where, you know, we're now going to go out for break time. For some learners who have been isolating and have been working from home, have been separated from peer groups for an awful long time. So for them to go from that remote learning period to then being back into a big special school and a classroom environment of, you know, say 10 other SEND learners and support staff and teachers can be a really big factor for them coming back into school. We also haven't touched on the fact that for some SEND learners last year and for some SEND learners this year as well, that when they are transitioning from key stages or are transitioning from primary to secondary schools, they haven't had that ability to have things like preparation days and transition days. They haven't had that opportunity to go and visit schools and to see things firsthand. And that is something that we'll probably see in SEND learners as we go through the next few weeks and months, whether that has had a real impact on their ability to transition as effectively as they would do prior to a pandemic. From my experience, regardless of the need of the learner, transition days or transition times, whether that be from class to class or from teacher to teacher, whether that simply be going and visiting the new teacher within a special school or new class teacher, or, you know, going to meet their new peer group that they might be going into, whether that be, you know, if they are on a different site, you know, if they're on a primary based building, then they go to a secondary based building on a shared school, or if they are transitioning from a primary special school to a feeder secondary school, then transition days and those transition opportunities to familiarise themselves with the environment. So, you know, to have a look at the classroom, to see what's there, to, you know, to have a listen for auditory response, to have that opportunity for some learners to it can sound quite simple, but even just that, you know, the noise, the smell, the touch of different environments can be crucial for some of our SEND learners to go and visit that new environment before they move on to that class. Additionally, that opportunity to go and visit a new environment, so transitioning from primary to secondary or secondary to tertiary, it's crucial for those SEND learners to to see that new building, to get a feel for the atmosphere within that building, to meet key people that they're gonna that they will need. So when I worked in the primary special school environment, it was crucial for our STEM learners in year six to go and do transition days. So we would do 3 or 4 transition days where they built up their transitions. So the first transition day was simply we took our learners to go and visit the school, and we would have a tour, and then that was it. The second transition day was we'd revisit the tour. Can our learners remember where the classes were, and you know what's down that corridor, what's behind that door? But they also got to meet some of the key staff that they would need. So key staff would be pastoral support staff, you know, the head teacher, the deputy heads, all of the learners' class teachers were there, and some of the support staff to meet and greet them, and so they had that face, and they had that sound of the teacher and the support staff, so that when they arrived in September, could match the face and the visual to what they remembered on the transition day. Then our last transition day was we would take the learners and they would go and do an activity. Now this activity was usually fun, was usually, you know, either swimming, PE, DT based, where they were doing something active, where the support staff and the teaching staff that they would have in the secondary environment would work with them, and we would kind of stand back and allow those new relationships, those new key bonds and key time to get to know each other as learners and as teachers and support staff to take place. Then they would also opportunities to go and visit and have their lunch there in the lunch hall, which would allow them to see what a lunchtime routine was like and a playtime routine was like. And then that would enable them to do that. So that was something that we really placed a high emphasis on in their transition process. Now if we think back to last year, to 2020, those transition days won't have happened in that way. They would have happened kind of remotely, and it would have been either a Teams or a Zoom chat, and then that would have been it. It wouldn't have been that physical going into the environment, that ability to hear, to smell, to, you know, that human connection that SEND learners would need. I mean, Teams and Zoom is an okay replacement, but it doesn't help with those transitions. This year in 2021, in June, July, there would have been an opportunity to maybe visit the new school or to visit a new class, potentially, just for a little while. But again, they won't have been as similar to last year and won't have had a similar effect. So that will have an effect for teachers, support staff, for learners and their families going into this academic year. So for me in my area that I work in now in Poor 16 and working with adult learners, a lot of my learners' transitions we're getting to know them remotely because I'm currently working from home until we start, and we do Teams and Teams meetings and video chats and phone calls with our learners, but those transitions are not the same as normal. But in a school, the transitions and getting to know the learners and allowing them to get back into the routines of school and get back into the key transitions throughout the day of, you know, we're now expecting, you know, send learners to go out at break times together. They wouldn't have had that for the last 18 months, you know, lunch times together. So how would that send learner cope with that almost relative new environment of, you know, playing with different peers, you know? So if it was me as a teacher in a special school, I would be thinking about that learner's, you know, social and communication needs and their social interaction skills there. You know, will they need a bit of support with that? Will they have that ability to manage their potential excitement and potential you know, ability to manage their emotions and interactions with others apart from their classmates? You know, we're also expecting send learners to now, you know, go into a lunch hall together rather than eat in their classrooms. Again, we've got to think about those transitions now of send learners have been eating in the relative calm of a classroom. A lunch hall is very noisy, there's smells, there's different things going on. So how best do we prepare them for that new transition into the coming back into school? We've also got to think about an additional transition. It happens every year for parents, carers involved with that send child. They'll feel the transition as well as the child, you know, going into a new class, going into a new school, maybe having a new teacher, new support staff. They will feel the same anxieties or the same nervousness or the same excitement as the learner. So actually we need to keep the family around the child or the carer in our thoughts as well. And how best do we help them manage the transition? So previous examples that I've seen is teachers have gone above and beyond and prepared transition packs for learners that need that additional support through the summer. So that has included photos of the key staff that's going to be in their class, names of other children that's going to be in the class, and where appropriate, photographs of those children. So parents and carers can do little games and activities during the summer holidays to allow them to prepare. They've also prepared little transition packs in terms of once they've known the timetable towards the end of term, giving them a timetable, giving them, you know, visual cue cards, you know, in terms of what their visual timetable is going to look like in the classroom. In addition, they've also prepared for some learners who need that additional help with anticipating and recalling those key transitions. They've provided objects of reference. So for learners with more complex needs, they would provide, you know, a plate and a spoon to the family, and that would be the object of reference to go to the lunch hall. To, you know, that's our cue signal that we're going to go to the lunch hall. For swimming, it could be our swimming bag. For assembly, it could be something simple like a little visual card of the symbol, Makaton symbol for assembly. It could be one young lady who I've worked with in the past used a prayer book for assembly because that's what they associated with assemblies. In addition, you could have different things like paintbrush if we're going to do art activities within that. Some teachers have also used a little seatbelt buckle to prepare learners for the transition of going out and about on community visits as well. So those things can be done and sent out to parents and carers to help them manage the transition around the school holidays. But also those parents and carers need that little bit of reassurance and that little bit of support when their child first starts as well. So for me, that when I've worked in schools and colleges, that's resulted in a little bit more pastoral care in that first 2 or 3 weeks, allowing the parent or carer to phone in to see how their child has got on, or simply giving them a little phone call at the end of the day just to say, oh, this is how they've managed with their school day. We've had, you know, the learner may have experienced a little bit of distress when transitioning on a key transition. We can maybe share that information with the parent, but then also work with the parent carer on strategies that we might implement to help that as well. So there is things that can be done prior to that during the actual transitions back into school, and especially this year as well, is kind of focusing a bit more on, we did it after the lockdowns, but a little bit more on the recovery curriculum, allowing that child to come in and not necessarily place too much or too high expectations too soon, allowing the learners to come in, get used to those key transitions, those key routines throughout the day, interspersing it with learning activities linked to their outcomes, but allowing a little bit more time for discussion around how they're feeling about coming back into school, any issues or barriers that they might have about, you know, moving around school or those key transitions throughout the day, that type of thing. An extra element that is now in is, you know, special schools, colleges, even ourselves as post 16 providers, we have that ability to get out and about a little bit more than previously. When we had more restrictions placed on us, so there is the opportunity to take learners out and to experience some of the opportunities and community learning based activities that they won't have had access to as much. So allowing for a little bit of that can also be a really, really good transition back into school. Now, it may sound like, oh yeah, that's really good, Neil, and it works for special schools, but there is an argument for mainstream learners as well to have a little bit more of a more support and more input in their transition back to school. It's the same across the board. It is kind of a relative known unknown in terms of we've had such a vast change in schools and how schools are run and what was expected of learners coming into school. You know, they were quite isolated because they were in a bubble. They were, you know, kind of almost stuck within their peer group. And then now we've kind of gone back to how schools were before. And that's a massive change, not only for the send learner who may, due to their needs, struggle to adapt to that change and go back to that way of working, but also for ourselves as professionals and for parents and carers. We've had so much upheaval in the last 18 months that actually we almost need a little bit of time to transition ourselves back into this new normal way of working, where, you know, our send learners can interact with other send learners from different classes, and break times and lunch times look normal again. And, you know, key elements of a school day, so assemblies and lunch times and, you know, sharing year group PE sessions or swimming sessions begins to happen again. And that's a major thing for everyone to kind of get to grips with. We've also got an additional thing of, actually, this transition process is kind of going to be keeping on evolving. As we all know, we get into back into the school life. And again, people out there, please do text or call in. If you're anything like me, within the first half term, I usually get a cold, or I usually have sickness, or I usually catch something because everyone comes back together from the 6 weeks holidays and we're all mixing within that school environment. And there's usually a little bug goes around, or sickness or something like that. But we've got the addition of COVID-19 is still around and still quite prevalent. So actually we're going to send learners that will test positive and have to isolate. And that is going to be another transition again for that learner, that they may have come back to relative normal, and then they will get sickness or they will get COVID, and they have to stay at home and then go back to that remote way of working again, and then come back into the learning environment of, you know, we're all back together and there's less restrictions again. So it's a constant and ever changing process, really, in terms of we are doing a major transition for SEND learners at the very beginning of the year to get them back into school life and to this new relative new normal way of working. But as we go through the year and things like sickness and COVID and lots of different things may crop up that actually results in the learner having to spend time at home or do remote learning, then they'll have that additional challenge of coming back into transitioning again. So it is vitally important for our SEND learners that those transitions are done well. Now, for as with SEND learners and mainstream learners in primary and secondary schools, each SEND learner will have their own barriers or their own issues when transitioning back into school or back into, you know, school activities and routines. So actually when we're thinking about helping SEND learners with those transitions, it's about giving them ear listening to their needs. The child or the student will let you know what their issues are and what the barriers are. And that can be obvious in various ways. They may, where appropriate, they may tell you. Other times it can be through their behaviour, may be negative, they may lash out, they may, you know, struggle with certain transitions and refuse to do them, or you know, physically or verbally aggressive, that type of thing. Or they might become withdrawn within certain transitions. So you might have a SEND learner that doesn't want to play with their peer group at lunchtime, or would prefer to have their lunch in the classroom in the safety. So it's kind of treating each SEND learner's needs individually and supporting them as best we can with that. So whether it's a case of a learner may struggle transitioning back into lunch hall and lunch routines, then it's about building those steps up and allowing those SEND learners to gain the confidence to hopefully get them back into the lunch hall. So that might be, it may well be that you start off in the classroom, but then gradually move to a classroom that's closer. May well be that they have the ability to sit outside the lunch hall at a desk and eat their lunch. They're still nearer. Then hopefully build up through support from staff and peer group to get them back into the lunch hall. It may also be that you help that learner with particular transitions that they struggle with in terms of allowing changes of staff for specific transitions. They may have, you know, a particular staff member that they like to go to the change rooms for swimming with. they may have a particular staff member that they prefer to sit with in assembly. So it's just about finding what works for that particular send learner and allowing them to either tell you the support that they need or to try different strategies and interventions and really helping them with those transitions, because the transitions at the start of the year will continue and be refined as you go through the year. So things like objects of reference, things like visual cues and visual timetables, things like key members of staff identified to be there on hand at key transitions, things like support strategies. So if a particular learner is really anxious about something and needs to chew, you know, a chewy chew for them to sit with an assembly, if they've got a particular comforter and it's appropriate, they can take that with them to assembly or wherever. If they're particularly struggling with transitions during break and lunch, then it may be beneficial for that learner to go to a lunch club, or they may spend the break time with a smaller identified group who maybe need a little bit more support with you know, play and interaction with others. So they may have a little area that they go and play a more structured game with an identified member of staff. So there's lots of different ways that the transitions can kind of go as well. Additionally, if you're going out and about in the community, or looking at key things like getting changed for swimming or, you know, PE, that type of thing, social stories and social cues for those learners can often be really, really good. So we did it where we had a learner who really struggled getting themselves changed for PE. So we made, with the approval of their parent carer and our senior leadership team, we made them their own getting changed book, where each week the learner would do one thing, you know, whether that be taking off their shoes, taking off their socks, you know, putting their PE top on, putting their PE shorts on, and we'd kind of put a photo of themselves doing it, and then that became their reference and their transition support during that time to help them become more independent in the transition and not rely on the staff to change them. And that resulted in that learner, we took that on again, and he really benefited from that. So we made another one for when he went swimming, and that kind of steamrolled it on. And then we worked with his parents to make one for his bedtime routine at home. So the transitions are really, really important for our send learners and can actually be a two-way street. So transitions within school can also help with transitions at home as well. So we think about the structure and routine of school, you know, specific times and specific points during the day that learners go through and transition, but it's the same at home. You know, you've got waking up, getting on school transport, getting on, you know, coming into school, you know, go and visit family, bedtime routines, personal hygiene, that type of thing. So transitions within school can also, if they're effective, then can also be deployed at home as well. So I appreciate it's only the first week back, but the importance of those transitioning back into the school way and the school life is an important one for our send learners. Now, in the second half of the show, we're going to hopefully discuss, and please feel free to text in or call in. We're going to discuss some of the anxieties that our send learners may have about coming back into school and about the new ways of working and how we can help those learners deal with their anxieties and help them you know, come back into school and feel really, really positive about being in school and really engage with it. So that's what we're gonna do in the second half of the show. But for now, we're gonna go across to the news and to some adverts as well. So I will see you after then.
This is Teachers Talk Radio News.
This is your latest Teachers Talk Radio News with Gail Blaine.
In Scotland, a major two-day online summit, which will take place on September 13th and 14th, has been organised by Glasgow City Council and supported by Public Health Scotland and the UK Gambling Commission. An initiative has been highlighted where a programme has been developed to help educate young people about the dangers of gambling for schools in Glasgow. The University of Bristol recently released a report which stated that Glasgow contained one betting shop for every 3,264 people, the highest rate in the UK. Bailey Annette Christie, convener for Wellbeing, Empowerment, Community and Citizen Engagement at Glasgow City Council's Policy Development Committee, said, "Right now there is a programme being developed, a pilot research study in some Glasgow schools, looking at early intervention and education of young people to understand the harms that can be caused by gambling." She said the programme is still at an early phase, with research in secondary schools being undertaken at the University of Edinburgh before it would be rolled out completely. Denise Coates, director of firm Bet365, was reported to have paid herself £469 million in a single year, the highest salary in UK history. As a result of soaring cases of COVID in Scotland and Northern Ireland since schools returned 3 weeks ago, the NAS UWT is calling for the Welsh Government to strengthen COVID control measures in schools. Dr. Patrick Roach, General Secretary of the NAS UWT, said ministers must not risk complacency or follow a strategy of crossing their fingers and hoping for the best if the number of COVID cases rise following school reopening. There is no reason for further disruption to pupils' education, where sensible and proportionate measures are taken to support the already tremendous efforts being taken by schools and staff. The latest data from Public Health Wales has shown that positive test results are at their highest since the pandemic started. This has been your daily education news briefing.
Creative resources made for teachers by teachers. We've created a huge range of more than 2,500 original and exciting resources that span across more than 15 different subject areas. Whether you're looking for primary or secondary level resources, careers options, PSHE, arts or humanities, creative resources have the resources for you. We offer full curriculum packages and unique challenging escape rooms themed on topics such as Shakespeare, tutors and fractions. We have quizzes, task cards, Tarsia puzzles and lots more. Better still, more than 100 resources can be accessed for free. Just visit our website, www.creativeresources.com. You can get 10% off any order you make on our website by using discount code TT Radio. Creative resources made for teachers by teachers. Every teacher loves stationery, right? Imagine getting a selection of fun, beautiful and unique stationery items designed and selected especially for teachers delivered through your door every month. You need to check out teacherslovestationery.club.
I'm always so excited when the box arrives. It's such a treat. My Teachers Love Stationery Club box is just a little treat to myself every month. It's always full of delightful surprises and items, including some really quality stationery brands like Faber Castell, Stabilo, and because you never know what you're going to get, it makes it even more fun and special when you get it. It feels really great to be supporting this as a supplier of Teachers. I can't help feeling like they just know what I'm going to enjoy using stationery-wise better than I do myself.
Visit teacherslovestationery.club and enter the code TTRadio when you buy your first stationery box to save £2 today. Teacherslovestationery.club. Need support with your phonics teaching? Did you know Oxford University Press now has three DfE validated programs to help you? Read, write, ink phonics, floppy phonics, and the brand new essential letters and sounds. Essential letters and sounds will get all your children reading well quickly using phonics books you may already have in your classroom. Developed by the Knowledge Schools Trust English Hub, it's affordable, easy to use, and makes teaching phonics with letters and sounds more effective. Whatever your school's phonics needs, Oxford has the solution. To find out more and receive support from your expert local education consultant, visit oxfordprimary.com/phonics. Every teacher needs support with your phonics teaching. Did you know Oxford University Press now has three DfE validated programs to help you? Read, write, ink phonics, floppy phonics, and the brand new essential letters and sounds. Essential letters and sounds will get all your children reading well quickly using phonics books you may already have in your classroom. Developed by the Knowledge Schools Trust English Hub, it's affordable, easy to use, and makes teaching phonics with letters and sounds more effective. Whatever your school's phonics needs, Oxford has the solution. To find out more and receive support from your expert local education consultant, visit oxfordprimary.com/phonics.
And welcome back to the Drive Home show with myself, Neil Mullen. Apologies, there was some echoing during the news. From what I was hearing, it seemed fine, but apologies nonetheless. So in the first half of the show, we were talking about transitions for SEND learners, as it's the first week back, first full week back for us all back in the swing of things. And we were talking about transitions for SEND learners and the importance of that, making sure that they feel comfortable coming back, that they're happy coming back. And that kind of leads us on quite nicely into the second half of the show, where we're going to look at anxieties for our SEND learners coming back into school. And we're going to talk about some of the anxieties that I've dealt with some of the SEND learners that I've taught, and also some of the strategies that I've used to help them ease back into school, and kind of discuss a few other things. Again, if you've got anything that you would like to add, please do text or call in. It would be really nice to hear some of the things that you've done and have worked well for you. Be really interested to hear that. So like any learner, regardless of whether they have additional needs or not, going back to school and getting back into the swing of school days and school weeks and the term is always a difficult process for everyone. I think teachers included, we all dread the end of August and the beginning of September, because we know that we're going to get back into the swing of things of Monday to Friday teaching all day and dealing with the learners and dealing with, you know, planning and marking and all sorts of different things. But for our SEND learners, the anxieties about going back to school can be really quite impactful for them. So those anxieties can take the form of many different things. For some SEND populations, it can be the anxiety around the actual small things about, you know, is their teacher going to be there? Is the classroom that they know they're going into going to be still there? Where am I going to put my bag? Where am I going to put my coat? You know, will I be okay in that classroom? You know, little things that any of us might, you know, cause us to feel anxious about are similar in a SEND learner. In addition, anxieties can be around, new peer groups. Are they going to have that ability to make new friends? You know, are they going to have that ability to, or they will have anxiety around, I'm going to a new secondary school. You know, some of my friends that are primary school are not here. Am I going to have that ability to make friends here? In addition, anxieties around actually that getting back into school mode. So for a lot of us, we enjoy the holidays that come with being in education, but for SEND learners, that adjustment from going back to school, from doing what they want when they wanted to, can be a real anxiety and a real stress for them in terms of having demands and expectations placed upon them that they previously haven't had. In addition, other anxieties can also come from the people around the learner. So parents and carers can sometimes fuel anxiety within a SEND learner. So an example of that could be a SEND parent may, you know, talk about a child's new school or a SEND learner's new class and feel like that they're helping prepare their child for, you know, the new school term, but actually talking about it may actually just fuel their anxiety and fuel, you know, that anxiety about they may not want to talk about it during the holidays. They may just want to, you know, get back into the school and then think about it then. In addition, because of COVID-19, that's kind of placed an extra anxiety for learners. So some of our SEND learners out there have really high anxiety around cleanliness, and you know that was applicable to before COVID, but with COVID being so prevalent, that has increased their anxieties even more. So some learners are highly anxious about going back into school, especially as some of the restrictions that they've been previously used to, where, you know, they've been in a class bubble, that may not be there now. The wearing of face masks may not be there for them. You know, that you know, allowance of mixing at lunchtimes and break times may be a real anxious thing for them to get around. Other anxieties can be around SEND learners, you know, getting on school transport again. That can be a real issue after an extended break with lots of problems around anxieties of that school transport and that journey to and from school. I have also dealt with anxieties in learners where they've become really anxious about new members of staff that may have joined a school or an organisation, and because they haven't previously seen that member of staff, or they haven't, or they don't know them, or haven't seen them in their school environment, that can be a source of real anxiety as well. We've also got to think about some of our learners with social, emotional, mental health problems. So because of the remote learning, and because of that kind of social isolation aspect of what we've been through in the last 18 months, anxieties around interacting with new people, anxieties around, you know, being in large crowds and being in big groups can also be a real source of anxiety for our SEND learners going back. In addition, from my perspective, a lot of my learners that already are coming back are quite anxious about doing learning activities out in the community, because for some of them they haven't been out and about for months now because of restrictions in their previous organisation, or parents have kind of said, I don't really want them to go out and about because of worries around COVID. So there is a plethora of reasons why our SEND learners can be anxious about coming back into school. Now, those anxieties can take lots of different forms. So in my previous experience, anxieties within SEND learners has looked like, has been displayed in learners becoming withdrawn and not really wanting to engage with members of staff that they've previously engaged with, or new members of staff that they have. It's also seen changes in behaviour for certain learners. So they may have been really quiet beforehand and are now become quite extroverted, or the other way around. They may also display different behaviours to being in a previous class. So they may become, you know, physically or verbally aggressive towards their new class team or class members. Their anxieties can also result in different things. So one learner I worked with was so anxious that they would self-harm as well, because they couldn't deal with the anxieties around coming back into school. So they began to self-harm, and as a way to manage that anxiety. There's also absenteeism as well. So some of our SEND learners will not come into school because of their anxieties and their feelings of not being able to manage that environment or being able to cope in that environment as well. Additionally, you've got other ways anxieties come out, in terms of they may not be necessarily present when you first come back into school, but as the weeks go on, then those anxieties come out in terms of learners may refuse to do certain activities. They may wish to, you know, stay with specific staff members. They may also become very, very rigid in what they want to do, in terms of, you know, where they want to go at break times and lunch times and who they want to be with. They may also manage their anxiety within school. So sometimes we have learners who have real deep-rooted anxieties about coming into school, or actually just being in school and managing the transitions around school and the various activities, but will appear behaviour-wise and present as though they are managing and enjoying school really well, but actually they are just merely managing their anxieties, and then at home are lashing out, and that's when their anxieties are coming out. I've had that quite a bit in terms of my teaching career. I've had several students who parents have been struggling at home to manage behaviour and to manage the issues around their child being anxious within school, and that hasn't been present when that learner's come in. The learner's merely been masking their anxieties, coping with it as much as they can do, and almost presenting as if there's no problem, and then going home, and then that's when the problems come out. So there's lots of different ways in which SEND learners' anxieties can manifest themselves and really be presented in different ways. So probably this academic year is probably the biggest year in which SEND learners and their counterparts in mainstream primary, secondary schools and colleges will have the most anxiety in terms of going back into school because of the upheaval that we've had for the past 18 months, because of the relative uncertainty of what's to come in this academic year. Now, for some of our learners, they thrive on knowing the fact that they're going to come into school and there's going to be routines. Anxieties can come around that with, you know, losing key members of staff. If staff have to isolate because they test positive, it may be that, you know, the learner themselves may have to isolate and go on remote, and that can be a source of anxiety. It can also be the case of due to COVID-19, it can also be a case of families can pass on anxieties around on learners. So learners who have additional needs but are otherwise quite high functioning can you know, acquire anxieties through parents discussing their own anxieties about various things, mainly COVID at the minute, but that can also be applied to parents who may have anxieties around their new school that the child is going to, or may have anxieties around a teacher that the child's going to. So that's the kind of the way that they are passing it on. That's not necessarily to say for all the SEND learners, but that can be another way. So this academic year is kind of the biggest year for anxieties about going back to school. Now, it's not just anxieties for SEND learners. I think across the board, teachers, support staff, senior leadership teams will also have anxieties about this academic year and this first academic term. We all probably have worries about our learners and how they're going to manage with this new normal. We also have worries about, you know, if a staff member has to isolate, if, you know, what has been the impact on our learners' mental health, what has been the impact on, you know, learners' ability to manage change and how are they going to deal with this new way of working where, you know, learners are going to come back in and mix with other learners, and there's going to be big groups of people in things like assemblies and in lunch times and break times and on corridors, and learners can now go out into the community and visit new things. So there's always anxieties for SEND learners every year and going back to school. It's quite an anxious time and getting back into that flow of things. But it's probably increased this year with the additional element of COVID. So in terms of, we've talked about how anxieties may present in SEND learners, it's now about, well, what can we do as teachers, as support staff, as parents, carers, friends, family, to help that SEND learner manage their anxieties? So And this is again just from my experiences as a teacher, as a teaching assistant as well, is that there's various ways that we can help and empower our SEND learners to manage their anxieties within school. So for some of our SEND learners and their needs, we can kind of manage it where we support them in the first few weeks and give them lots of prayers, lots of encouragement, lots of positive reinforcement on key transitions throughout the day, lots of support in terms of lots of dialogue between the learner, the teacher, the support staff, highlighting that to a senior leader, but also passing on that praise and that encouragement to the parent and carer of that child, and almost really, really highlighting, emphasising how well that learner is doing coming into school and managing their anxieties in terms of, you know, transitions around school, their workload, lots of different things, highlighting them for highlighting them, praising them, which would then empower the learner to carry that on. And then eventually that learner would kind of just manage that themselves. So for your learners out there that do have additional needs but are quite high functioning, that's a really simple and effective tool to allow them to feel empowered and to manage their anxieties. And that can just be kind of kept going throughout the year with a reduction in positive praise, really. It's kind of then they become and they manage their anxieties of previously getting praised for doing something, and then they can kind of go back to that in their memory bank and go, yeah, I can do this. I'm going to go and do it myself. So that's one simple and effective way. In terms of a learner coming back into school and the anxieties around that building up within the school holidays, as we touched on in the first half of the show, transition packs are often a really good way to help a learner plan for coming back into school. So within transition packs that I've seen from not only my own practice, but other teachers and experienced colleagues that I've worked with, is they've used visual timetables of kind of how a learner's day will look. They have used key photos of staff and of peer groups that they're going to be in, so that families can practice together of, oh, this is your teacher and their name. These are the support staff that are there to help you. These are your new friends within the classroom. In addition, you've got other things like with more modern technology, teachers have now been able to provide videos where a learner who may struggle with remembering where their class is or remembering key parts of the classroom, teachers have now gone in and done videos of themselves within the classroom talking through different parts of the school day and different parts within their classroom. So that can be really effective for learners to keep revisiting throughout the holidays. In addition, teachers have provided communication packs for those learners who may be nonverbal, and they can build up symbols or their PECS routines prior to coming into the classroom. In addition, you've got other things where some teachers have really gone the extra mile and gone to great lengths to come in during the school holidays and have like a little mini transition day for those learners to kind of ease the anxieties as well, where appropriate, especially focusing on more the secondary and tertiary SEND learners. I've done it in the past where I've held mini meetings with learners and their families, and we've kind of had an open discussion about their anxieties around returning to school and how best we can support them with that. And we've kind of almost had a mini coaching session where those learners have identified what they might be struggling with, and we've kind of worked as teachers and support staff with the families on little things that they can do at home and what we're going to do in the first few weeks of term to help alleviate some of those anxieties. In addition, there's other avenues of support for SEND learners with anxieties. Many special schools and many mainstream schools will have designated pastoral staff and designated staff who are there on hand to deal with any anxieties that arise. In addition, in two or three of the schools that I've worked in, we've adopted the Thrive approach. So if you type in Google Thrive approach, it'll take you to the Thrive website, which is all about an approach where learners can discuss their anxieties, their worries, and kind of learn through interactions and games and play, and kind of work with staff and peers around those anxieties and how to overcome them through the Thrive approach. That was really successful in the specialist primary setting that I worked in. We had a designated Thrive room that allowed us to take the learners there, allowed us to work in small groups, allowed us to identify any anxieties that they may have. And from that, we kind of made a little Thrive club. So kind of on a Friday afternoon when there's a little bit more downtime for SEND learners, when, you know, we might have games afternoon or might go out and do a bit of piggy, those learners who are a little bit more anxious about things had that ability to go into the Thrive room and kind of work through any issues that they had through the week with an identified staff member and similar peers who had similar anxieties. And that was really effective for us, that we created that little group, and they could work through things like that. In addition, we've also had other successful strategies where we've had a parent and carer group where we have had parents and carers of learners who were really highly anxious and really highly who struggled to cope with that school routine. And they've been supported by teaching staff and senior leaders with a bit of positive parenting, giving them some strategies to help them deal with any issues that results from the anxieties at home. So we touched on it that learners may have anxieties around school but only display that at home. So that was a really good tool for some of those learners that could cope and manage their anxieties within the school environment, but then took that home. That was a really successful tool to give parents and carers some tips to help support them at home. In addition, kind of born out of last year, doing a bit more of a recovery curriculum with those SEND learners at the beginning, kind of identifying those anxieties that may well have been born out of the past 18 months, but also looking through SEND learners' EATP plans and kind of seeing if there's a thread of anxiety and kind of looking at the root cause and any particular strategies that have been used in the past. And then we kind of look to use different ones in the future as well. So an example of this is we had a child who was highly anxious around going into the lunch hall, and that had been born out of a negative experience he had had when he'd first come into school. There was lots of noise in the lunch hall, and since then had preferred to eat their lunch in class. Looking through their ATP plan, lots of different and previous individual learning plans, lots of strategies had been implemented, but one particular one hadn't been introduced for whatever reason. So we worked quite heavily with the parent and carer around we're gonna do this strategy, but we'd like you to kind of do the similar thing at home as well, in terms of, you know, so there was a consistency of approach in terms of trying to implement that particular learner sitting with other people at a dinner table. And through that, we managed to identify a member of staff that learner was comfortable with, and that learner was able to sit with and talk with and do little activities whilst eating their lunch. Initially, that was at a table by himself, and then we gradually built up to that learner, you know, sitting with their peer group and managing their anxieties. Now, that anxiety was still there, and that anxiety within that learner was kind of deep rooted. But what we helped to do was to manage their anxiety and enable them to have a new experience and to have a new skill of sitting in a lunch hall and sitting with their peer group and sitting with an identified member of staff. So that was really, really good for us. And I think when we talk about anxious SEND learners, it's not necessarily about taking away their anxieties, because actually a lot of anxieties within our SEND learners go back quite a long way and have been ingrained within those SEND learners. It's more about giving those learners strategies and tools and little pointers to help them manage it. And that's the key message that I would give from my experiences and looking at other teachers is providing that support, but providing tools for the learners to enable them to manage their anxieties, especially as those SEND learners transition from primary to secondary and into post 16 and then eventually adulthood, because that learner who had that experience of sitting with a peer group, albeit a staff member was there, that learner will then hopefully progress in secondary and post 16 to sitting with a peer group and having a staff member just in the room rather than sitting with them. Then hopefully that would progress further into adulthood, that whether he goes into employment or further education, that he could go with a peer group to the lunch hall and not rely on a staff member. So kind of the tools and the strategies and the interventions that we put in place to help manage that anxiety can be real building blocks for our SEND learners to move on and to keep progressing and to keep, you know, minimizing that anxiety to eventually where they're in charge of their own anxiety and they have the tools to manage it and to deal with it in different situations. I would say as well for managing the anxiety of learners is that we needed to help those learners by almost exposing them to new situations as well. So for a lot of our learners with those anxieties, it's sometimes about putting them in those situations where we know their anxieties are going to come to the surface. But by putting them in those situations, we find whether they begin to use the tools themselves to manage their anxieties, and whether or not they can eventually, you know, manage their anxiety themselves, or whether we need to work with them a little bit more to manage that and to manage those situations a little bit more. So that's kind of where we're at in terms of today's episode about talking about, you know, transitioning back into school for our SEND learners and the anxiety associated with it. As we all get back into the swing of things in terms of, you know, starting a new term, the first couple of weeks, we're all tired at getting back up earlier, and we may have, you know, lots of pressures in terms of getting learning outcomes ready and paperwork and all sorts of things ready to go. But it's just about remembering that actually these first two or three weeks are really crucial in terms of not only for ourselves in terms of getting to know the learners and to help them transition back into school as smoothly as possible, but also helping those learners almost identify themselves around their anxieties and around how they transition back into school and how they can, you know, get back into the swing of things. And this year is going to be more difficult than anything else this year, because we've got the additional pressure of COVID. We've got the additional pressure of, you know, our learners have had upheaval for 18 months or so, and are going back into a new way of working and a new way of doing things. So within that, they are going to find the transitions back into that harder, and they are going to have more anxieties associated with it. But I think the crucial message that hopefully you take away from this is that actually we just need to be there to support them and to help them and to give them those tools and to give them those opportunities to practice, you know, those transitions back into school and to practice those anxieties and to practice making mistakes, and for us to help them as well. I think that's kind of the main takeaway for me. And we don't always get it right. I don't personally. I've made loads of mistakes in terms of SEND learners that I've worked with, where I've maybe pushed a learner too far to expose them to anxieties. I've maybe, you know, not support, maybe giving them the wrong tools or whatever. But it's just about keeping going and keeping helping them with those anxieties along the way. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I've kicked you off for the Tuesday afternoon, evening, on Teachers Talk Radio. Up next is Lucy, a really brilliant presenter, and then Libby, and then Rich. So feel free to tune into their show. Please do remember as well that currently we are running a competition where you've got a chance to win one of four education books. So if you go to Teacher Talk Radio Twitter page, you'll see the competition there. All you've got to simply do is retweet the competition tweet, and you follow Teacher Talk Radio, and you're in with a chance of winning one of four really, really good educational books. So please do give that a look. I'll retweet that page as well, just in case you're finding it harder to find that, but please do that. Please do have a look at the other presenter shows tonight. So Lucy, Libby and Rich, be really, really good if you tune into that. Next week, we're going to look at different topics as well. We're going to look at different topic each week, and I've got some guests lined up, some really, really good guests. But as with everything, the start of the term, everything's a bit hectic, so please be a little bit patient on that. But if you do have any topics that you would like for me to discuss, or if you've got anything that you really want me to talk about, or we want to have a discussion special, then please do get in touch. Twitter is @nmullen1988, or at Teachers Talk Radio. Please do get in contact. It would be lovely to hear from you. Otherwise, I hope you have a really, really good Tuesday evening and night. Please do tune into the other shows later on. I've been Neil Munn, and this has been the Drive Home Show. Thanks.